Fleta Brown is here. Welcome, Fleta.
Hi, Aaron. I'm glad to be here.
And the poet this month?
Well, I'd like to introduce our audience to a poet who's really greatly revered among poets, but hasn't had as much traction in the wider world. His name is Larry Levis. He was born and raised in California. A lot of grapes and migrant workers get into his poems. He taught at the University of Missouri for a long time and directed the creative writing program at the University of Utah. And when he died, he was professor of English at Virginia Commonwealth University. He died of a heart attack in 1996 when he was only 49.
Ooh.
He wrote 6 books of poems, 1 book of essays, and a novel. I'd like to read you a poem called The Poet at 17. I don't know if you can tell this in my reading, but it has a really formal feel to it, divided into 4-line stanzas with the first letter of each line capitalized. And please forgive my lousy Spanish and the few names of songs in this poem. My youth, I hear it mostly in the long, volleying echoes of billiards in the pool halls where I spent it all, extravagantly, believing my delicate touch on a cue would last for years. Outside, the vineyards vanished under rain, and the trees held still or seemed to hold their breath. When the men I worked with, pruning orchards, sang their lost songs, Anapola, La Paloma, Jalisco, Note Rajes, the corny tunes their sons would just as soon forget at recess, where they lounged apart in small groups of their own. Still, even when they laughed in Spanish. I hated high school then, and on weekends drove a tractor through the widowed fields. It was so boring, I memorized poems above the engine's monotone. Sometimes whole days slipped by without my noticing. And birds of all kinds flew in front of me then. I learned to tell them apart by their empty squabblings, the slightest change in plumage or the inflection of a call. And why not admit it? I was happy then. I believed in no one. I had the kind of solitude the world usually allows only to kings and criminals who are extinct, who disdain this world and who rot, corrupt and shallow as fields I disked. I turned up the same gray earth for years. Still, the land made a glum raisin each autumn and made that little hell of days. The vines must have seemed like cages to the Mexicans who were paid 7 cents a tray for the grapes they picked. Inside the vines, it was hot, and spiders strummed their emptiness. Black widow, daddy long legs. The fine canes whipped in our faces. None of us cared. And the girls I tried to talk to after class sailed by, then each night lay enthroned in my bed with nothing on but the jewels of their embarrassment, eyes, lips, dreams, no one. The sky and the road. A life like that, it seemed to go on forever, reading poems in school, then driving a stuttering tractor warm afternoons, then billiards on blue October nights, the thick stars. But mostly now I remember the trees wearing their mysterious yellow sullenness like party dresses, and parties I didn't attend, and then the first ice hung like spider lattices, or the embroideries of Great Aunt No One. And then the first dark entering the trees, and inside the adults with their cocktails before dinner, the way they always seemed afraid of something and sat so rigidly, although the land was theirs. Larry Levis's poems all have that voice that seems to be just talking to you, while at the same time the sense of formality in the tone asks you to step back, pay attention in a new way. Hear what's said beneath what's said. The last 2 lines of this poem, the adults with their cocktails before dinner, the way they always seemed afraid of something and sat so rigidly, although the land was theirs, those lines open the whole poem to a whole new perspective. The speaker sees through to the truth of his childhood. The poet Christopher Buckley has it just right, to my mind. He says, Larry's work has an intimate sense of detachment, a voice or stance that allows him to examine himself as an objective character in the world, yet write of the most personal events and aspirations in an objective, factual style. The book I'm reading from is The Selected Levis, published in 2000 by the University of Pittsburgh Press. It gathers from a number of Levis's previous books. The poem I read you, The Poet at 17, is from the collection which is represented in that selected, called Winter Stars. I'd like to read you the title poem in that volume, which seems to naturally follow the one I read. I love the way Levis turns the mind, the father's mind, into a city in this poem, with its lights slowly going out. It's called Winter Stars. My father once broke a man's hand over the exhaust pipe of a John Deere tractor. The man, Ruben Vasquez, wanted to kill his own father with a sharpened fruit knife, and he held the curved tip of it lightly between his first two fingers so it could slash horizontally and with surprising grace across a throat. It was like a glinting beak in a hand, and for a moment the light held still on those vines. When it was over, my father simply went in and ate lunch and then, as always, lay alone in the dark listening to music. He never mentioned it. I never understood how anyone could risk his life, then listen to Vivaldi. Sometimes I go out into this yard at night and stare through the wet branches of an oak in winter and realize I am looking at the stars again. A thin haze of them shining and persisting. It used to make me feel lighter looking up at them. In California, the light was closer. In a California no one will ever see again. My father is beginning to die. Something inside him is slowly taking back every word it gave him. Now, if we try to talk, I watch my father search for a lost syllable as if it might solve everything. And though he can't remember now the word for it, he is ashamed. If you can think of the mind as a place continually visited, a whole city placed behind the eyes and shining, I can imagine now its end, as when the lights go off one by one in a hotel at night, until at last all of the travelers will be asleep. Or until even the thin glow from the lobby is a kind of sleep, and while the woman behind the desk is applying more lacquer to her nails, you can almost believe that the elevator, as it ascends, must open out upon starlight. I stand out on the street and do not go in. That was our agreement at my birth. And for years I believed that what went unsaid between us became empty and pure like starlight, and that it persisted. I got it all wrong. I wound up believing in words the way a scientist believes in carbon after death. Tonight I'm talking to you, Father, although it is quiet here in the Midwest, where a small wind the size of a wrist wakes the cold again, which may be all that's left of you and me. When I left home at 17, I left for good. The pale haze of stars goes on and on, like laughter that has found a final, silent shape on a black sky. It means everything it cannot say. Look, it's empty out there and cold, cold enough to reconcile even a father, even a son. I notice that the last line of this lovely, graceful poem doesn't say what we expect it to, that it's cold enough to reconcile a father and son. He says, cold enough to reconcile even a father, even a son. Not necessarily to each other, but to what? The universe? The fact that they were unable to talk to each other? We don't know, but we know that there's a reconciliation going on. There's such heart in these poems and such nuance, so many perfect shifts of the mind. The poet is Larry Levis.
And the book?
The book is The Selected Levis, which was published in 2000 by the University of Pittsburgh Press.
Thank you, Felita.